You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. Guidelines establish the boundaries of your life. They don't determine where you go, but they do determine where you end up. They help you slow down when everything else says speed up. They help you think before you say. There are no shortcuts to real success. Guidelines help to navigate you from where you are to where you want to be. Boundaries don't limit you, they protect you.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction Realty. Our family has used them for 2 estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We're back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power. Our guest this morning is Pastor Tim Patterson. His title is Nailed It.
Yes.
Before we get started again, would you like to share about your church services,
absolutely,
times and any announcements?
Yes. So we are Cheyenne Pentecostal Holiness Church. We're located at the corner of 2nd and Clay Avenue, 111 South 2nd Street. If you don't know where that's at, we're just south of Martin's, right there on the corner. So we have a 10 o'clock Sunday school, 11 o'clock morning service on Sunday, 6 o'clock Bible study on Wednesday. And then also December the 16th from 12:30 to 2, we will be doing a community dinner. We're just going to have like chili and stew and things, and just opening that up to our community. So come out, get you some food. We'd be glad to serve you and see some of the renovations we've been doing. And we'd love to. And if you don't have a home church, we'd love to have you come and join us in one of our services. And I think that's all of the announcements I have.
All right. Back to you.
All right. All right. And so we've been talking about Nailed It and how Jesus is that, speaking of Eliakim, but that was he was a shadow or a prophetic utterance concerning Christ as well, that he is a nail in a sure place, that anything could hang off of it, but anything that was put upon him could hold it. It could be held by him. They talked about even the smallest teacup, so to speak, the smallest vessel to the greatest flagons, the large barrels types that they would use to carry water and different things. They would store everything on these pegs throughout their home. And isn't it good to know that a child can find a place in Jesus? And a child who doesn't have a whole lot of baggage and is very innocent can put it on Jesus, and he was so gentle, and he says, "Welcome home." Mm-hmm. And isn't it good to know that somebody who's had a life of sin and hurt and trauma and pain and has more baggage than Paris Hilton going somewhere, and he says, "Bring it on, I can handle it." And you can put all that baggage on him, and you can find a place in him just like the little child did. And guess what? At that moment, that child and you are now brother and sister in the Lord. There is no Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free. He is no respecter of persons. I like how that old song says, the ground is level at Calvary. whether they're in the high, he that's in the palace or he that's on Skid Row, if we are without Jesus, we are without hope. But both of those can find him to be a fixed place, a place that will not move, is unshakable. And I know what's going through some people's mind because you've read the next verse and you're thinking, but what about the next verse? Because I used to struggle with it too. But before we get to the next verse, I just want to encourage you to know that there's nothing too big for him. I don't know how many times I've had conversations with people who said, well, I need to get my life together before I come to God. Let me just give you a news flash real quick. God doesn't need your help to save you.
That's right.
He would really prefer, you ever have those people that try to help and you're like, please stop helping. Just stop. You are making it harder than it should be. You can't get good to get God. You need God to get good. And I love how the author of Hebrews said it. It's one of my favorite books. In Hebrews chapter 1, he said, Christ, who by himself purged our sin. I don't know how many of y'all are familiar with Medea, and I may tell on myself a little bit here, but she used to have a phrase, I can do bad all by myself. Well, newsflash, God can do good all by himself.
Right.
He doesn't need you and me to do it for him. He doesn't. We can't get it together. You'll never have your ducks in a row. It's always going to be squirrels looking for nuts. All right? That's how it's. That's just life. You will never get your ducks in a row. Just put it on God. And so when we put it all on him and we trust in him, and I just love how when Jesus makes it abundantly clear, and throughout Scripture, and even as he looks at the churches in Revelation, and to each church reveals himself in a different manner. When he spoke to the church of Smyrna that was persecuted and was telling them, you're going to face death, you're going to face persecution, life's going to be hard, but be thou faithful unto death. And you shall receive a crown of life, and you will not be hurt of the second death. Before he ever spoke those words to them, you know what he identified himself as? He said, I who was dead and am now alive and alive forevermore and hath the keys to death and hell. In other words, he identified himself to this persecuted church as a conqueror before he ever encouraged them. Isn't that something? And when Jesus walks into the scene of our lives and we are bound by addiction, and he comes in and he says, I who was dead, but am now alive and alive forevermore. Whew. And you begin to see that he's a conquering king. When he was on Calvary, he wasn't a victim. He was victor. Amen. He conquered sin. He conquered death. He conquered hell and the grave. And that same Jesus is the one that said, I could put all of my care upon him. That same Jesus is the same one that reached out. When he was busy on his way to go take care of somebody else's daughter, that a little woman pushed through the crowd and touched the hem of his garment in faith, and he stops what he's doing and turns around and says, who touched me? And everybody looks at him and says, this is a mosh pit, man. What do you mean, who touched you?
Right.
Everybody's touching you. And he says, no. Y'all are thronging me. Somebody touched me because I felt the virtue go out of me. Isn't it something that when we feel like God is just too busy for us, we can call on him, we can reach out and touch him as he's going by, and he will stop what he's doing and meet your need. That old song says, reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to hear your heart's cry. Amen. He's passing by this moment, every need to supply. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. No matter what we have in our life, He can handle it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we think we're at the end of life and there's just no hope. But I read of a man who said, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And he says, this day will you be with me in paradise. Talk about a guy that had baggage. Mm-hmm. He was being hung for being a thief and a robber. He had some baggage. He was not a good man. But that day, he put it all on Jesus. And he became a saint. And that day went into paradise with God. Do you realize that Jesus, you're not too much for him to handle? Amen. So we've come to the final verse. And it says, in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, shall the nail that is fastened in the sure place be removed, and be cut down and fall, and the burden that was upon it shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. Well, Pastor, you just encouraged us that he's a nail in a sure place, and now he's just fallen to the ground? Different nail. Notice, Eliakim hadn't been promoted yet. This verse is actually talking about on the day that Eliakim is promoted is the day that the nail that is fastened, which is Shebna, is going to fall to the ground. And everything and everybody that has been leaning upon him shall be cut off, for the Lord has spoken it. Mm-hmm. Do you realize that there will come a day that when we stand, that everything that we have, everything we do, our life is going to stand before God. And what we have built upon is going to matter. It will be tried by fire. Wood, hay, stubble, it'll burn up. But things of precious stones, silver, gold, metal, those things will endure. And so when we see Shebna, he was unfaithful. He had been entrusted with the kingdom, but he was unfaithful. And as a result, judgment came. How many times do we put things on, and I've mentioned it already, but again, we put it on friends, we put it on our spouse, and we depend. Sometimes we put our deepest needs being met on our spouse, and that's not fair to our spouse. Because your spouse is not there to meet your deepest need. Your spouse cannot meet your deepest needs. Your spouse cannot give you purpose. Your spouse cannot give you joy. Your spouse cannot be your source of contentment. Because believe it or not, as good as your spouse is probably going to fail. Because mm-hmm. your spouse isn't perfect. She's perfect for you. He's perfect for you. You chose them for a reason. You loved them. And love is a choice. And love, you can go to 1 Corinthians 13 and it'll tell you how to love somebody. If we could learn to walk in love as a spouse a lot better than what we have been, I think we'd see marriages a lot happier.
I think that would make a huge difference yeah. in the entire world.
Yes. Yes, it would. Because when we walk in love, we're a lot less selfish. Mm-hmm. But if you've been leaning on your spouse to meet your needs and fulfill all of your needs, your deepest needs of security, of purpose, you will find that that is a nail that is kind of put up with one of those secure strips, you know, that you can easily pull off, you know. Might as well just go ahead and get that little tacky putty stuff that they put up at the schools to put posters up with. That's about what it's like when we depend on others. Mm-hmm. And so many times we will put our security in our job. We'll put our security in and our identity. Let's not forget that. Mm-hmm. We will put our identity in jobs. Men, we're the worst. We will identify ourselves by our work. And if we lose our job, we feel like we're useless and we're pointless and we're aimless and there's no hope and it's the end of the world. And your identity is not in your job. We will lose ourselves. But we put so much in that identity of my job or certain friendships, and we put so much in those friendships and or in you know certain endeavors that we may have, and we put a lot into those. And if we rest solely on those, newsflash, there will come a day that this world will be shaken. Mm-hmm. And all those things that can be shaken will be shaken. But he will stand sure, and he will not move. This life feels like a snow globe right now, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody has been shaking it. It's snowing mm-hmm. everywhere. But you ever notice in that snow globe when the snow is all going and everything? And did you notice that the things that are secured at the bottom, they never move? And do you realize that when you're on the right foundation, no matter how crazy the world gets, it doesn't move? And that is what we're talking about. And so Shebna, he had a lot of people leaning on him, a lot of people trusting in his abilities and were on his side, but he was unfaithful. And because they leaned so much on a man, there's a big thing there.
Oh, yeah.
We put so much confidence in men, and we should respect our pastors. We should. I hope we do. But our pastors are human as well. We can't put them on a pedestal. We endeavor, we do our best. And we want to be like Paul and say, follow us as we follow Christ. And if we quit following Christ, quit following us.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes but if a man fails, I don't know how many times I've seen people, their faith just falls apart because a pastor failed. Well, who are you following? The pastor or God? Who are you falling in love with? God or your pastor? You should honor your pastor, but your pastor isn't the nail in the sure place. Jesus is. And when we trust in him and we put everything on him, my, what joy, what contentment, what peace. And that old song says, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Jesus can handle anything we throw at him. He's not like me. I got a little bit of a trouble in my back, partly because of my weight. Yes, I know. Thank you for all of those who have diagnosed it. But we're working on that. But I have times where my back, if I'm not careful, something happens and it'll tweak my back and I'm walking like the Hunchback of Notre Dame for a couple of days. And you know what can do it? Reaching up to grab something off a dashboard. So there are some things that if you were to throw on me, I couldn't handle. I'd probably crumple like a couple of feathers. But that's not Jesus. He doesn't have a back problem. He can handle it. Mm-hmm. And I love how he said he took everything, all of our sins, nailing it to his cross. He nailed it. He's taken care of it. When we want to look for, you ever have those, sometimes you have people that commission art. And that artist does his work and they want it to be just perfect, and they'll probably see the flaws, but they finally get it to a point where they feel like they can present it to the person who's commissioned it, and that person who's commissioned it, the benefactor, will look at it and say, "It's exactly what I wanted. It's perfect. That's exactly what I was looking for." And when we look at Jesus, when we've come through life and we're saying, I just want somebody, I just need something that I know is secure and safe and will hold and will stand the test of time, that I don't have to worry about if it's going to fail me. I don't have to worry if it's going to forsake me. I don't have to worry if it's going to be unfaithful. I don't have to worry about whether or not it's good enough for my family as well. I don't have to worry about those things. And I just need something like that. And we come before the throne of God and we come before the word of God, and he reveals to us that nail in a sure place. He reveals to us Isaiah 6, the king whose train fills the temper. He's a conquering king who can handle everything that we put upon him. He reveals to us his description of himself in Revelation chapter 1 as he proceeds speaking to the churches and identifies himself to each one as one who is alive and alive forevermore, as one who is holy and who is true, as one who is the faithful and true witness, as one who is a soldier. I love how he revealed himself to Moses. Moses said, God, who is a God of war, he could fight. He's a fighter. And so when we come to Jesus and we look at him through the lens of his word, we have come to the one who has nailed being the one my soul longs for. I have finally found the peace that was missing. He has nailed it. There is none like him. I love it. Who can compare? There is no one like our God. None can compare to him. He has nailed it. And because he has nailed it, and because he is secure and steadfast, unmovable, unshakable, he can handle everything I throw on him. Mm-hmm. And you know how I know that? Not just because, now, most importantly, because his word says it. Mm-hmm. Whether I experience it or not is not the issue. I can't live my life based on experience. The facts of my faith are not based upon my experience and my emotions, because those are fleeting. The facts of my faith, my faith is established on the facts of truth, that he is holy, he is God, he is sovereign, he's omniscient, he's omnipresent, he's everything. He is the I am. And so when I'm resting in that, I can truly say he has nailed it. But I can also say, because I've tried him, mm-hmm. and he's worked for me. That can't be my key argument, but it can be my final argument, that I have tried him and he has worked for me. I have thrown upon him my cares. I have thrown upon him my frustrations. I have thrown upon him my sin. And I have found every time that he has been faithful and he has been true and he has nailed being the one that our soul needs. He has nailed being the light, the truth, and the way. He has nailed being the one who has come that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Mm-hmm. He has nailed every description, all the prophecies concerning him, which the likelihood of one man fulfilling is the equivalent, if I'm not mistaken, of taking the state of Texas, filling it about a foot deep with quarters, dropping one double-headed quarter in the middle of that, stirring it up with the giant blender, dropping in a blind man in the middle of that and him picking it out on the first try. Yet Jesus fulfilled every prophecy concerning him. Mm-hmm. I think if somebody can get that accurate and be that dependable to fulfill every prophecy concerning him, then he can be dependable enough for me to trust in him. Somebody tried it and they were able to write the song, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus," just to take him at his word. Another tried it, and he was able to write, an old slave trader of a slave ship tried it, John Newton, and was able to say, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me." You talk about baggage. This man was a wicked man. He was known for raping some of the slaves. He was known for taking slave children and throwing them overboard. This man was a wicked man, but he found that amazing grace. How sweet the sound. And because he found it, he influenced another man by the name of, I believe it's, just left me, I apologize, but he helped lead the fight against slavery in England. And I wish I could remember his name now. I do apologize. I want to say Longfellow, but that doesn't sound right. But these individuals have tried him and tested him and proven him true time and time again. Fanny Crosby wrote, "Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine." You know, that didn't mean a thing to me when I was 10.
Right.
I'm 34 now, and oh, man, it's one of my favorites. "Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his spirit, lost in his love." He nailed it, and you can trust it. About like Grandpa when he put a picture up, I never had to wonder if it was going to fall. You can put it on Jesus, he ain't going to fall. you can trust it, and you can trust his word. Amen.
Amen. That was a good word. I'm so glad that we can trust him.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know where I would be in my life. Yeah. I look around at other people that are not following the Lord,
right.
And I wonder how they do it, how they're making it. I mean, some of them seem angry and stuff, but...
Yeah. My worst day as a Christian is still better than my best day as a sinner.
Amen.
Or I'd rather say my worst day with God is better than my best day without him.
Mm-hmm.
So,
amen. We appreciate you coming and sharing
with
us.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. It's my pleasure.
You have been tuned into the Hour of Power, and I'm going to say it again. It is the most powerful hour of my day. My name's Tina Dobbs. Tina Dobbs, and Pastor Tim Patterson. Y'all have a blessed day, and we'll see you next time.
We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power has been encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email us at hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com or The Rock Christian Music on Facebook. Download the Paragon Communications app where you'll find The Rock Christian Music and take us with you everywhere.